Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, National Award-winning Investor of the Year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, today we're going to have a little fun. Now, I've got an article here out of Success. It says, tips to achieve anything you want in life. I guess it's 10 tips to achieve anything you want in life. I always like these little things to go down and see if it makes any sense or if it helps me visualize and focus on what it is that successful people do compared to non-successful people. And, you know, when I say non-successful or unsuccessful people, man, there's a lot of gradation there, isn't there? There's everything from being complete loser, broke, you know, bad credit, can't even, you know, I don't know how they say it. They say, I'm too broke to pay attention, I guess is the way they put it. But all that, you know, goes all the way up into what I think is still unsuccessful, which is living a life of quiet mediocrity. Just getting up every day, doing the same thing, going to the same place, eating the same meals, seeing the same people. And to me, that's no different than being in prison. You're in prison by a lifestyle that you have no control over. You have to get up and go through the same routine every single day. And that, to me, just isn't life. That's not the quality of life that I'm looking for. I think there's got to be way more than that. Then you can go even above that. Even if you buy your financial freedom, there's another level out there, and that is just extremely wealthy. And that's above and beyond even just financially free. You know, for many years, I've been bumping up that ladder, getting wealthier and wealthier and wealthier. The more money I have, the more money I have invested, the more money I have invested, the more money I make. The more money I make, the less I need, and the more I save. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, I spend money. In fact, when I got out of the hospital this last two times, I decided that I was going to pick up full blast my hobbies again and get going, get back on my feet and get all of my garages. Realize I have a 20-car garage. One of them has a gym in it, which we remodeled to be a gym. It actually is about four-car garage for that. And then we have a 25-foot-high motorhome garage. And then we have another 4-car garage on the other side of that. Then we have a 6-car garage on the other side of that, and that one holds my trains. Then we have a single-car garage, which is the maid's garage, and then we have a 3-car garage, which is up against the house, which is what we park in. So all that space is my hobbies, right? And I decided when I got done, you know, being in the hospital twice and having, you know, major surgery, thinking, you know what, there's just not enough time to be messing around. We got to get on this stuff and get it going, the stuff we want to do in life. We got to knock out that bucket list. We got to get going, right? And don't get me wrong, I've been doing everything I wanted to do, but I just woke up with a sense of urgency that, hey, got to get things going. So when I saw this thing, 10 tips for achieving anything you want in life, I thought, wow, there's the bucket list. Big, 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 big deal. Big bucket list thing. Get off the list. Travel, bucket list, giant, you know, month-long trip to Greece on the bucket list, man. You know, just stuff coming up that's just over the top. Finishing up my train layout, or at least completing it to the level in which I can start enjoying it to the fullest. Probably never be complete, because once I get it to a certain level, then, of course, I'm going to want to change it again. That's just the nature of building stuff, guys, especially modeling. You know, you model it, you look at it, you step back from it, go, I could do that a little better, and you go back in, you tinker with it again. So let's talk about the 10 tips to achieve anything you want in life. The first one is focus on commitment, not on motivation. Just how committed are you to your goal? How important is it for you? And what are you willing to sacrifice in order to achieve it? If you find yourself fully committed, motivation will follow. Those of you who know me for a long time know that if not once, it's 10,000 times I said, I don't like motivation. I don't like motivators. I don't like people to get up and yell and scream and jump up and down and try to get you rah-rah. I won't go to a seminar where they make you stand up and hug each other or stand up and stretch or any of that stupid stuff that they do. Tony Robbins is one of the worst. I mean, he gets you all fired up and excited. And then you, what I think it's like take a little toy duck and you wind it up and you put it on the ground. And it flops around, flop, 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 flop. It hits the wall and falls over. That's what I see as motivation. So when this guy says focus on commitment, I say focus on commitment to the project, whatever the project in hand is, getting in shape. Commit yourself to getting in shape. Focus on the commitment. Don't focus, you know, on getting motivated to get it. Forget the motivational step. You don't need it. Commit to the results. And then as we work through the rest of this stuff, you'll see that that commitment to the results is what's going to get you there. Because number two, I think, is important tie-in with number one, and that is seek knowledge, not results. Now, what I found is that if you try to just get out there and do something, I told you this story 10, 20 times about me going out there and rebuilding this train layout three different times before I finally went to an expert, to a pro, and got all my questions answered, because I kept getting into it and running into something, a design flaw that was designed into the very plan. So you'd get to that design flaw. When you'd run up against it, you could go no further. You had to take it all apart and start over again. I did that two or three times. Finally, I realized what I need to do is I need to totally envision the entire project. And so I started studying what it takes to put one of these projects together. Now, I did the same thing when I wanted to figure out how to do rental houses. I did the same thing when I wanted to figure out how to do apartment houses. I did the same thing when I wanted to become a bodybuilder, powerlifter, Olympic lifter. I studied these things. And as I studied them and practiced and tried some of the techniques, I found that you eventually master those techniques, but you're mastering the correct technique is what is really important. Vince Lombardi used to say, practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. So you've got to have the knowledge of what to do before you start doing it. I know so many type A people. They just go. Melissa is a type A person. The way she buys stuff, she goes to the store and buy 15 different things for one item she wants. And then she says she'll take them back if she doesn't want them. And she has to see them in the spot. And what it really comes down to, she's got to be doing something. She's got to be trying. Instead of planning and envisioning and designing like a designer would, she just has to throw mud at the wall and hope something sticks. That's her personality. Now, I can't do anything about it. That's my girl. I love her the way she is, but that's her problem. She's just a mud on the wall kind of person. Inevitably, she buys stuff she never takes back. She forgets to take it back. She loses it. Waste money, waste time going back and forth to the store. Instead, this time when I did my train, I put it together on a CAD-CAM system. And I designed everything before I started building. No part of the building was going to go on until I knew exactly on the CAD-CAM where it was going to be, how it was going to be, how it was going to be laid out, so on and so forth. And when I had that design knowledge in front of me, it became possible for me to accomplish this stuff, right? And number three, make the journey fun. It not only became possible for me to accomplish these high-end skills, it became fun doing so. You make it fun when you understand what it is you're doing. You make it unfun when you slam yourself into a wall, fall down, get up, slam yourself into a wall again, get up, fall down. That's no fun. To be successful, the journey has to be as much fun as the destination. And so the journey needs a map. You've got to find the right map. I was looking at the other day at something about, caught my attention about 3D printers. And I was talking with a friend of mine who was over at the house the other night. He was saying, man, if you had a 3D printer, you could build a lot of this stuff for it. I go, ooh, that's an idea. So I just took a moment to look up 3D printers, and you wouldn't believe what's out there and what you can do with it.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
There's kids out there that need parents, and you don't have to be a good parent, just a parent. I don't believe that at all. you can give a man a fish, you can give a few bucks to a charity, and most of the times the charities I see are ripoffs. You know, you look at the Bill and Hillary Clinton charity, and that's the most commonly known multi-mega million-dollar ripoff charity that there was in the world, political contributions, whatnot. But that's just one. I mean, almost every other charity you can ever get your arms around has had some kind of a scandal tied to it, right? The point is, I don't like charities. I think they're a ripoff. What I do like, however, is to give back. And I believe that the way to give back is if you've got something you know how to do and you know how to do it better than anybody else, then go out there and teach it. Don't give stuff away to people who don't care. Give it to people who do care.
Wow. Information, education makes it all fun. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Wamsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single-family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing a topic here. It's out of success. It's called 10 Tips to Achieving Anything You Want in Life. We're on tip number four now, and if you want to rewind the first segment we had, tip number one was focus on commitment. Tip number two was seek knowledge, and tip number three was make the journey fun. Number four, it says get rid of stagnating thoughts. Thoughts influence feelings, and feelings determine how you view your work. You have a lot of thoughts in your head. You always have a choice of which ones to focus on, ones that will make you emotionally stuck or the ones that will move you forward, excitement, experimenting, trying new things, etc. Guys, I got out of the hospital. And I had all kinds of thoughts. I had, oh my God, am I going to die from this? Oh my God, they just stitched my stomach back together. I can barely move. I hurt everywhere. I don't know if I can do anything. I could injure myself again. I don't know what to eat because I can tear up my stomach insides. You know, I was just had all these stagnating thoughts. And I finally just told myself, I'm not going to think that way. I'm going to think positively. And get that stuff out of the way and just start thinking about, okay, what can I do? What can I accomplish? And all of a sudden, even though I couldn't accomplish heavy physical tasks, I started accomplishing things. I got lists and lists and lists of things I wanted to get done that other people did, that I just needed to manage the process or find the right person to do the work. You know, there was time commitment, but no physical pressure on me to do the heavy lifting of the deal. As time went on, those projects got larger and larger and larger. I started taking on small amounts of physical activity. And now that I'm about 4 weeks out from the operation, I'm at the point now where I'm thinking about maybe even starting to do some very, very light calisthenic type stuff just to get some of the muscles that haven't been used back into realizing their muscles. But all of this, focusing on the trains, and the layout, focusing on changing around my financial situation again this year, which I changed last year, a lot of things, looking at it again for what changes I'm going to make this year, focusing on getting that bucket list item off the list, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Focusing on these things has covered up the stagnation thoughts, the ones that saying you can't. And you've got to get those out of your mind, folks. The next one is use your imagination. And boy, I'll tell you what, I love using my imagination. I found myself in bed last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, mentally walking myself through my train layout, mentally walking through my garage development, workshop development, walking myself through my landscaping development for my house. I know Melissa's just imagining and walking herself through all the stuff we're going to have. And it's that spice of life, guys. Imagination is the spice of life. I really think, the only real sports teams I watch the Rockets because they're almost always doing well. I watch football, Texans, if they are doing well. If they're not, I don't even care. And I don't watch baseball at all. Baseball's like watching grass grow. About every 2 or 3 minutes, something happens. It's really that in golf I can't watch. But I'll watch it if it's the pennant and they're playing for the last game of the series and, this could be a win. All of those things you do, though, is you envision, you dream. What if this team could pull this off? What if they got one more good guy that made the difference on the team? All those types of imaginative thoughts are what make life really fun. So you imagine what a vacation could be like. You imagine what your wedding could be like. You imagine what kind of fitness, what kind of shape you could be in once you started working out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You imagine the way you design your home. You imagine the way you play your hobbies. All those imaginational things are what we live for. I believe, truthfully, and I've read this somewhere, and then I'll tell you what I really believe. I read somewhere that all things are built three times. They're built in the mind, then they're built in the plans, and then they're built, physically built. But first of all, they have to be conceived and believed in the mind. Once they're conceived and believed, they have to be put down on paper in some manner, so that there's a plan to follow. And then the third, you physically take action, right? And I actually think that the most fun part of all of that is designing it in your mind. Because when you're designing in your mind, there's no limitation. There's nothing saying you can't have $1 billion. I could sit down right now and I can imagine myself to $1 billion if that's what my goal was. I have other friends that I think that is their goal. They want to be a billionaire. To me, it's not my goal. But if it was, I could easily sit down and go, okay, if I do this, 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 and this, this year, the next year, and one more year, I could be a billionaire. I could be a billionaire for 3 years from now. That's the imagination. That's the beauty of it all. Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill said, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. So it's just a matter of getting your imagination going. Then the last part is, number six, stop being nice to yourself. Stop letting yourself cheap out on activity, taking the easy way. Not tackling the challenges you run into. The map has a process to it. You don't go to Z, then to B, then to G. You go A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And when you get to C, and it's a tough part of the project, dive into the project. Don't wimp out. So many people wimp out at the first sign of difficulty in any challenge that they take on in their life. You can't do that, folks. Getting through that sticking point will make the rest of it just feel like a breeze. And maybe you have two sticking points in a project. But man, the one thing's nice about overcoming a sticking point, and this is why I love the learning aspect of doing all this stuff. Once I learned some new electrical techniques, I've got them for life to use over many, many different possibilities. When I learn woodworking techniques or metal and shop techniques and welding techniques, all these different construction techniques, once I've learned them, I now have them available to me to build anything and everything I want. So now my mind can imagine even greater, larger, more complex projects. Stuff that I could never dream of before because I couldn't say, how could you even do that? But once you know how to do it, then that knowledge is transferable to other aspects of your life. So stop being nice to yourself, step number 6, and get out there and tackle those tough parts of the project. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought 3 brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have 3 of her inherited properties and then 3 properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into 3, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. And in 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started at 87 go, you know what, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing 10 tips to achieving anything you want in life. And we are currently on number 7, which is get rid of distractions. Meaningless things and distractions will always be in your way, especially those easy, usual things you would rather do instead of focusing on your new challenging and meaningful projects. Learn to focus on what is important. Write a list of time wasters and hold yourself accountable to not do them. Guys, whew. Unbelievable. Let me tell you the number one time waster in the world for me. If I could figure out a way to fix it, and I'm sure there's probably some technical way I could fix it, but it's emails. I get 100 emails a day. And, you know, I go through and delete all the ones that are junk as best I can. I have junk filters. It doesn't matter. They catch me under a different name. They get me in another way. They find me. Somebody else finds me. They trade my name. They sell my name. But emails demand your attention. I just hate it. And what's worse is, you know, you can sit there and fight them as you're going through the day and just, you know, knock a few off, knock a few off, knock a few off. But what's really bad is when a bunch of important emails get buried by 10, 20 just garbage emails. And that happens all the time to me. By the time you go, I email from the top down, what you end up finding is you've lost the important ones and you don't get to them. Or vice versa, what happens is that I'll put the phone down. Like sometimes I just turn the phone off. I have to admit it. It's the only way I can deal with it. And just go into a shop and work on a project, or go outside in the yard and work on a project, or go out and work with my fish or my ponds, and just leave the phone. But inevitably, when I come back, they're all there. 50 to 100 emails. That's my nemesis. And, you know, the more help I can get from everybody on that, that's good. But it's text messages, emails, phone calls, interruptions in a day that are just gibberish, right? Commercials. I do not watch TV live. I think maybe once or twice on a show, that was the only way I could get it, but almost never. It's always recorded. And then I get in there and I just cut the crap out of it. I cut out all the commercials. I cut out all the unimportant pieces of it and garner just what's important. Again, big waste of time is commercials. What else eats up your time? People wanting you to stop in the middle of what you're doing and do something for them. This is a hard one for you to say no to because it seems rude. But I'll have people run up to me and go, oh, look, you got to look at this right now. And I'm right in the middle of an intense study of some topic, or I'm doing something that just needs to be completed. And people interrupt you and say, hey, just come over here for a second. And that second disrupts the entire setup of the project, disrupts the thought process of where you're at in the project, might even make you start over and do all the setup again, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, for the project. And you just got to keep that stuff out of there. It's just a hindrance. Other kinds of distractions that are out there, besides advertising of all kinds, both TV, radio, and internet, you know, stuff, besides advertising, other distractions that you run into are going to be physical distractions, something that you, the train stops you in the middle of where you're going somewhere, right? The car's out of gas and you got to go stop and get gas. All these kinds of things, they disrupt the flow of work to where you can't get stuff done. And it chops up the workflow so much that the workflow is either non-productive or bad, one of the two. So you've got to isolate yourself away from distractions. Number eight, don't rely on others. Now, we say that business is a team sport, so we are relying on others. What this is meaning, and what I take it to mean, is don't rely on others to do your part of the process. If you're the owner, then act like the owner. Do the owner's work. If you're the supervisor, then do the supervisor's work. Don't try to get somebody else to do your work for you. Don't shuffle it up to the owner and don't shuffle it down to the underlings. If you're the manager, do the manager's work, vice versa, assistant manager, so on and so on and so on and so forth, whatever it is you're doing. If you're out there getting yourself in shape, don't wait for someone else. I don't need a workout partner to go to the gym. I don't need a workout partner to go out to the garage. Hey, let's go do this. No! Go do it yourself. Get it done. Don't expect other people to have the same goals as you. In fact, most people have completely different agenda than you do. And if you try to tie them with you, I'll tell you one of them that gets me all the time. I really like to spend time with Melissa, spend a lot of time, do a lot of things together because we have a lot of similar interests. But sometimes I get trapped in a car with her and she's on a, I'm going to hit 20 store return tour. And I thought we were just going to go get some lunch. And I'll look up. It's from noon. We're back at the house at 6, 7 o'clock at night. And has wasted one whole day of my life is gone. Because I got trapped in that car on let's go return stuff tour. Right? Or I've got a few errands to run. Would you like to go with me and we'll get some lunch? No. You go do your errands, I'll do what I got to do, then we'll meet for lunch is what I've had to change it to. We've had to go to that process because it was just killing me. And she's always going to win. If there's an argument on what we're going to do, she's going to win. Number one, she always drives. She refused to let me drive, and I don't mind being chauffeured around. So she always wins on where we're going. I end up never get anything done the day that I go with her. So nowadays it's like, you go do yours, I'll go do mine, and we'll meet in common ground somewhere like to eat. Or if there's a store we both want to go to or something like that. But don't rely on other people to get you through your process. Number nine, probably one of the most important, have a plan, right? Fill out a plan, a yearly calendar, a monthly calendar, a weekly calendar. Plan your day in advance, one whole day in advance. So when I go to bed at night, I'm laying in bed, I'm planning today. When I got up today, I had a game plan of about 15 items I wanted to get done. And by 11, when I started this radio show, I'd already done like 7 of them. Yes, like 7 of the 15. I'm over in half by the time I did the radio show. Radio show's one of them. I had planned the radio show, so that was 8. And now I've got 7 more to do, and they're sitting there in a list. Boom, 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 boom. I will nail those. I will hammer them out. And by the end of the day, I will have had a massively successful day. And you tie one massively successful day to another, and pretty soon you've got a massively successful week. That's what you've got to do. That's the way it works. Last but not least, number 10, protect yourself from burnout. It's very easy to burn out when you're running 1,000 miles an hour. And if you're living at this high level of expectancy that I'm talking to you about all the time, it is very easy to burn out. I find myself getting up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning every day, attacking my list, getting stuff done, having an interruption in the middle of the day to do a radio show, then attacking my list after that. And by 6 or 7 o'clock at night, I am burnt out, tired, but I don't go to sleep. I get back in learning mode, get on the computer and start studying and learning, or maybe I'll pick up a basketball game or whatever it be, and then I don't go to bed till 1 or 2 o'clock at night, right? But you have to understand, that can burn you out. So here's the trick that I use. Have your goals set up so that they are different topics, different things. My financial goals, my email goals, my train goals, my garage goals, my yard goals. Right now we're building a mailbox, a stone mailbox goal. Have all those lined up and have a plan for each one of those. And then jam it into one of them and then stop. Walk away and do another one. If you can change from a physical activity to a mental activity and back and forth, you can disrupt the boredom, and boredom is not the right word for it, just the intense drawdown of doing the same thing intensely for a long period of time. That can help you fight back this constant potential for burnout that's there if you're going to draw yourself into these things and run 1,000 miles an hour from 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning to 1 or 2 o'clock at night. I literally went to bed last night at 2. I was up by 6:30, had 4.5 hours sleep. The old saying goes, there'll be time enough for sleeping when I'm dead. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Del Walmsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021, where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is, you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy's going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
From from the files of Del Wamsley. Del talks about stocks and real estate ripoffs and what to look for.
I do want to make this point to everybody out there. All right. This poor lady signed up for one of these stupid stock trading courses. Do you understand that trading stocks on a daily basis like this is really nothing but gambling? You might as well sign up for how to cut cards or how to play cards, because it's just insane. You're going to lose. The odds are against you. It isn't going to work. And you know what? I want to add this to it. And so is every other real estate course out there that has to do with flipping and wholesaling and working your butt off and busting your butt and taking advantage of people and selling stuff too high and buying it too low and ripping people off. Guys, we're not doing any of that. We're buying assets that make us passive streams of income, and we're growing our wealth.
And now back to the show.
We're going to hit the email basket now and see if we've got some interesting questions here. I got some short ones, some long ones. I'm going to try to nail a couple of short ones up front here. It says, this is not a member question. I own a home. I do not live in it. I owe $130,000 and received an offer of $230,000. Should I sell or rent it out for income? If I sell, should I use the money for other properties? Which is best? All right, here's the way I look at this. You got too much equity in that house. The equity's got to come out. You're either going to refinance the equity out, turn it into a rental house, and you're only going to do that if it makes sense, if you're going to get positive cash flow, and the positive cash flow should be a minimum of $200 a month positive cash flow. It might be as much as $400 or $500. If it's not going to do that, then you're better off to sell the house and 1031 that extra $100,000 into at least five other houses. Easy to buy five houses with $100,000. I've seen people do as many as 10 with $100,000. So depending on where you're buying them at, if you're going to buy them right, you're going to buy them in markets like Texas or other states where you can get homes for low prices comparatively to the rents. And so in that one. Now, if this house is too expensive, but there is no positive cash flow, we absolutely have to sell it. There's no rental possibility for it. You never want to rent a house and not have positive cash flow, because there are other expenses besides just the mortgage payment. Next question says, my name is Ryan. I love your show. Thanks for answering my questions. I just wanted to say I don't know where to begin. I have about $80,000 in student loans, and I'm not sure if I should just focus on paying those off first, or if I can get started paying them off. What do you think is my best plan? I asked him to score 720 credit score, six-figure job, has income. The bottom line is paying off a bunch of debt doesn't do you any good at all. It doesn't. No matter what Dave Ramsey says, I can prove Dave Ramsey wrong 1,000 times to Sunday, that if you take and spend $80,000 of your liquid funds, you've got out of maybe 5% on $80,000, which is going to be 5 times 8, $4,000 a year of interest. On the other hand, you take that $80,000 and go buy yourself four houses. The cash flow of $500 a month each, you've got, let's see, $500 would be $2,000 a month. That's $24,000 a year. I would much rather pay the interest on the debt and have $24,000 a year coming in to pay $4,000 worth of interest payments. Truth of the matter is, once you have that $80,000 making you $2,000 a month, it will be much easier for you to pay off that debt. But if you keep the logic in line, the logic is going to say, hey, there really is no reason to pay the debt off any quicker than what the debt says you have to pay it off, because the more cash you can get into investments, the more money you're going to own. And this is just going to make it easier and easier and easier for you to be wealthy. While at the same time all that's going on, you're accumulating wealth. You now own assets. Those assets are increasing in value constantly. So you may gain 4% return on a $100,000 house. It's, you know, $4,000 a year times four, $16,000 a year, just in equity capture. Number two, you're getting tax depreciation to cover your taxes, so the income is tax-free. There's five ways we make money in real estate. All you're doing is getting out of paying interest. We're making five times the result by buying the rental properties. No, don't pay the $80,000 down. It doesn't make any sense. Next question. My brokerage account so have $250,000 insurance coverage against risk. Now, first of all, I've never heard of a brokerage account having insurance against risk. I mean, insuring risk, right, in the stock market just doesn't make any sense to me. But let's say maybe he's got stops in there that if it goes down more than $250,000, they sell, they don't lose anymore, whatever. What protections will the passive investments have against risk of incompetence? There is no protection in life against risk of incompetence other than education. And that's why to become a lead investor at Lifestyles, you first have to pass with 100% score a educational program on how to buy, locate, evaluate, negotiate, contract, and operate apartment complexes. Number two, you have to take another course on how to legally raise capital, how to deal with partners fairly and safely. And you have to agree to follow the white paper regulations, which means you agree to do it the right way. And with all of that education, all the help that's out there, there's very, very, very little risk possibilities if someone's following everything we say. But is there insurance for risk of stupidity? No, stupidity is a non-curable event that when someone has it, it's just too bad. Next email, I'm registered to attend your seminar in Detroit. I'm just a guy in Detroit who's working Ford Motor Company. I used to have a real estate license. Thought I was going to retire my 20s, but women and partying got in the way. Question I've seen, recall hearing somewhere, is it a great idea to establish an LLC for your each rental property? No. When you start out buying single family houses, you can't get Fannie Mae loans if you have LLCs. So we don't use LLCs when we buy single family homes. However, once we start buying apartment complexes, each and every apartment complex we have is going to be inside of a different LLC for liability protection. Hope this all helped out today. Hope you learned something. Get out there and get off the couch. Do something. Remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day.
Information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.